Night right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. It's 8 o'clock. You hear the music and your favorite annoying Kayak Fishing Radio host is on. So let me see. What's the date today anyway? It's Tuesday, December 13th for all of you podcasters out there that are listening to the podcast each and every week. And I appreciate you listening. Kind of a slow night so far. Got Greg the Hammerhead in the chat room there, and a guest. So anyway, might have a short show tonight, but everybody's probably out Christmas shopping and all of that stuff. Don't forget, if you're looking for Christmas gift ideas for your outdoor-oriented person on your Christmas list, make sure to check out yakangler.com. That is yakangler.com, the Christmas gift list, the first annual one of those. We usually do one on there every year, but this was the first one. It was in that format. So anyway, I'm your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Bat Cast. You can catch all of my goings-on or non-goings-on on my website, badbatcast.com. Also, you want to check out yakangler.com. On the phone with me right now, the always dreaded yet always popular, he is putting together his website for his future endeavors. TheSaltCombatant.com. That would be Redfish Chuck, Chuck Levi. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, man. That's cool. Chuck just registered RedfishChuck.com today. So I think that's awesome. I was just kidding with you about finding a cooler name.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I know. But I thought it was funny, you know, Russ was looking for saltwarrior.com, and, you know, some of the stuff that they were, some of the ideas they were giving him was pretty funny, like salt combatant. sorry, I guess I'm easily amused. And also on the phone from Ringe, New Hampshire, the always popular writer of the blog, yakfish.net. This would be Greg Crisp. How you doing, Greg? Is that you?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm guessing you're the only one with a California area code calling from New Hampshire. But that's okay. Skype does that to you once in a while. I like it when I call up Chuck's show on Skype and it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's my phone number.
Yeah, that always throws me off.
That's okay. But ever since I switched to unlimited minutes, I don't have to rely on the Skype to, you know, be strapped to the desk and stuff. So I'm kind of happy about that, man. So what's going on today, man? How you doing, Greg? Long time no here. You finally home or what?
Yeah, tonight I'm home. But back down to Connecticut tomorrow to work. So back and forth. Well,
now,
one more week of hard work.
You go down there and stay for a couple of days and then go home, or what?
Yeah, it's a semi-local job site for me. So I've been going back and forth a couple times a week.
I forget, man.
It,
you can
so it's,
up there. Some of the states are kind of small. You can like, you know, get within three states and in about 2 hours. So that's kind of
exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I got like a 2.5 hour drive, so it's not too
bad. No, it's not bad at all. Well, that's cool, man. Thanks for calling in and joining us, man. So anyway, just to get to a couple of things here tonight, we got who's moving? Somebody's back the moving truck up. Yeah. Anyway, we're let's see, the Florida, what is it, Chuck? The Old Florida Festival is happening. February, I believe, the week before the Boondoggle over in Apopka, Florida. For information, check out Mosquito Creek Outdoors. I believe they have a Facebook page, too, that you might want to like as well. Is that the proper information there, Chuck?
Yeah, and it's the Apopka Old Florida Outdoor Festival, and they've got their own Facebook page as well. And they have their own website, too, set up for it. It'd be just the Old Florida Outdoor Festival.com.
You think you could get some, like, fried Coke out there? Like, fried Pepsi or something like that?
Dude, I guarantee you that there will be all kinds of very unhealthy snacks to be had out there.
Fried Twinkies, if you need it. There you go. That's right. I like my fried. And I like my beer cold. And I like my Ferris wheels going real fast. I'm just kidding. Anyway.
I like fried moon pies. I'm down with that.
Fried moon pies. Man, is there anything that hasn't been subjected to a deep fried, any sort of a fryer that they have out there? At the state fair, they just announced the state fair the other day, and listing the acts that they have for concerts and stuff, it was the fried delicacies lineup, and I can't remember what it was this time. It was fried Swiss cake rolls or something. It was something, you know, they always do something off the that's crazy, that sort of stuff, man. So that's cool, man. It's all part of Old Florida. I get a kick out of it. I don't eat too much of that stuff, but I get a kick out of seeing that kind of stuff. So definitely check that out, Mosquito Creek Outdoors and the Apopka Old Florida Festival, Outdoor Festival, on Facebook. Also, just so you know, you also want to follow, you want to go to Kayak Fishing Radio's Facebook page. Just Google up Kayak Fishing Radio on your Facebook page, and make sure to like us. We're on there. We try to be active there and everything, and don't be afraid to leave us a message there. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at I am a Bad Batcast on Twitter as well. And chat me up. I'm more than happy to talk to folks on there about numbers of things. So I don't know, man. I haven't been that active lately on anything. I don't know. Maybe I'm not too chatty or something. Who knows? But I'm on Twitter all day long, man. So and it's attached to my my lovely smartphone, so I get my messages just about any time before 10 o'clock at night, and after 7 o'clock in the morning. So feel free to tweet me. Tweet away. Anyway, so what's going on in the world of kayak fishing this week? I haven't been on the water, so I couldn't tell you. Oh man, I'm kind of jonesing here. December is always a busy month for me, so not only it puts my writing in a deeper hole than it already is, but not being on the water, I start really getting antsy. You know, I can go for a week or two and I'm okay, but it's been about two weeks now that I've been since I haven't been out, and that's not common for me, especially when I'm used to going at least once a week. So, And I've got a brand new spot that I'm dying to get out and try, man. I've been looking at it on Google Maps all week long, and I was supposed to hit it up this weekend or last weekend, but I didn't manage to, man. Was asleep at the wheel, so to speak. But I will share this with you for all of. I know that a lot of the kayak fishing radio listeners and folks and fans like quality adult beverages, and I just want to tell you that there might be a new favorite Bad Bat Cast seasonal beer right now, and that would be a Shock Top Pumpkin Spice Wheat Ale, which was very tasty. I had that on my birthday last week, and that was quite a tasty beverage to go along with those them hot barbecue wings that I was eating. Yeah, I know I'm vegetarian, but once in a while I gotta have some of the good stuff, man. And before you ask, hot barbecue wings is probably one of my favorite things ever. They take wing sauce and sweet smoky barbecue sauce and mix the two and put that on your wings, man. Yowzer. That's a good thing. I can even make it here. You know, get the crock pot out. You take the same idea. That's Chuck. That's moving. Hey, man. Shut down the U-Haul. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, you can do the same thing in the crock pot, except that instead of wings, I use potatoes. So try that. Give that a shot sometime, man. That's a good thing to eat. Cook them all in the crock pot all day long. Barbecue potatoes. It's awesome. You heard it right here on a Bad Bat Cast, too. Okay, man. So, so this weekend I'm hoping to get on the water. Water temperature has not taken that drop that kills fish, that drives, that makes them totally lethargic and not want to eat and everything. So water temperature today was 64, and I expect it to be probably closer to towards 70, maybe 67, 68 by the weekend. And that's usually a good thing. So, Chuck, what would you suggest on me fishing for the fish that we fish for? What would you suggest? What would you think would be upcoming this week with the, even though we're going through kind of a nice steady warming trend, there's no weekly cold front coming in this week. What would you suggest that I look for and do this weekend coming up to get after some nice redfish or flounder?
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know if these fish are going to be confused or not because it hasn't gotten as cold as, you know, it probably should be right now. But Sunday I'm going to spend my entire day fishing for tailing fish, or hopefully looking for tailing fish. And I'm going to target those fish with, small paddle tail baits and exude crabs and that kind of thing. Oh, and then the buggy whip as well. I don't know. Look for nice relief areas where you've got, say, a nice steady grass flat with some decent potholes on it that's adjacent to, say, a deeper spot, maybe whether it be a channel or just a small drop-off, even if it's just a couple of foot difference. A lot of times what happens over here is first thing in the morning, most of those redfish are down in that deeper water, and when the sun comes up and starts to warm up the flat, then they'll kind of pop over that little drop-off and start searching around for something to eat, and that's when you start to see tails popping up and that kind of thing. But don't discount the sand holes. You got to target the sand pockets this time of year, too, because those hold a little bit more heat than the dark grass does, believe it or not. So, and it acts as a good ambush point, too, for prey items. And don't put away the top water plugs yet, apparently. So keep throwing them, but just fish them real slow.
After seeing what Dee's been doing lately, that's right, man. You want to definitely fish the top waters early. I can't go early this week because it's a low tide I forget. I was looking at it, and it was, I believe it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, so it should be a fairly good incoming tide, like all day long. So I should be, I could be wrong. I forget. I looked at a couple of spots, and here's how it works. If you know, in my area here, if I get up, you know, and I'm looking at the tides for the weekend, if it's you know, if I'm in the Gulf, which is where I'm at most of the time, because it's closest to my house, because I live, if you look at the map, in Pinellas County is that little peninsula of land on the west side of Tampa Bay. So, 9 times out of 10, I'm in Clearwater. I'm like right, you know, that's where I usually fish around here. Clearwater, Bel Air, those sort of things. If the tide is not favorable, because I got to look at the tides. You don't want to go out there on a, you know, an outgoing tide or something on the Gulf, because then all the fish disappear. But what I do is I like to look, if it's incoming, I'll be on the Gulf. If it's a bad tide, I'll go and look in the bay. And 9 times out of 10, the bay is going to be good if the Gulf is not. There's a several hour difference between high tides there and everything else, so that's where I'm. That's what I'm looking for this week. So it should be a favorable tide. We're probably not going to get out till about 9 o'clock, which is okay when the weather's a little bit. Excuse me, man. I'm like burping big time. I'm trying not to unleash one in the microphone, so please bear with me. Yeah. So anyway, no. You know, that's usually the. That's what I look for tide wise. I like to if I can't get an incoming tide. Or if it's a little bit colder than it is now, I'll go on it and I'll look for the negative lows. Man, that's the way to go. Negative low tides, because you can always, everything's all shallow. Chuck, take Mosquito Lagoon there in the area you fish, and drain about 2 feet of water out of it, and that would be a negative low tide for you. Where you'd know where to fish, right?
Yeah,
the only place holding water.
Channel.
Yeah, right. Either that or just go look. What you would do is go look for those holes. You could probably wade the whole thing. Just go look for those holes, you know, those little deeper areas that are there kind of close to shore, and I bet you that's where the fish would be. So that's what the scenario is over here, you know, except it's not quite as shallow as that. Greg, man, how do you, what are you doing for, what do you do for tides out there, man? You look for a favorable incoming or outgoing, or does it matter since you're, if you're on the coast?
Well, the tides do affect, you know, where and how you fish. There's some places that, you know, are obviously better on different tides. The big thing with stripers is moving water. The stripers up here, when you get to the slack tides and the water stops moving, the fish, you know, pretty much shut down. You can still catch them, but the bite's definitely slow. But when that water's moving, you know, they like to, you know, find ambush points. And, you know, when it's kicking up debris and the bait fish are feeding and on the plankton, different stuff floating through the water, that's when the stripers really go. So, you know, I don't really care if it's outgoing or ingoing. Some people do, but it's really just the moving water. And then finding different areas, because some of the areas that I fish, you know, like you guys, you know, in the flats are only accessible at high tides. It's the only time it's safe to get in there because of the rocks and the boulders and stuff like that. So,
well, there's Brandon is in the chat room there. He's Redfish Jax. He's up in Jacksonville, and I remember fishing up there, man. Talk about paying attention to the tides. That was crazy, man. You were up there, Greg. That was you got to witness that, man. A couple of times, a couple of spots on that river, man. And we're like in Malibu's, you know, so we got the big old tanks. You know, a couple of spots on that river, that tide was going out so hard, it was you had to paddle as hard and fast as you can just to, like, move an inch at a time. So luckily, I don't have to worry about, you know, we don't have to contend with those sort of things around here very often. I can't think of one place that I fish around here where I have to, where the tide is going to be, the current's going to be that strong, it's going to, you know, wreck, you know, it's going to make you have to paddle like that, man. It's more wind than anything. that'll usually make you, make me paddle like that. But anyway, so that's some of my stuff. I'm planning on fishing. Wow. I'm planning on fishing mangroves. And it's like everything that you can possibly imagine in this new little spot. And it's not a very big spot. It's actually pretty compact and condensed into probably, I don't know, if I measured it, it would probably be maybe 3 square miles total. So it's not a very big spot whatsoever, but it has everything there. It's got oyster bars, it's got drop-offs, it's got ditches and ledges in there, and it's got grass flats, and it's got sand holes, and it's, I mean, just every possible scenario. So I'm thinking that if I don't nail it right on the head and figure out where the fish are or where the fish are going to be, I ought to be able to sniff some out. So that's the plan for this weekend, and hopefully we get back in there and get back on the fish catching ways there, and it's not going to be a skunk-tastic thing. So also, there's not a lot of boat traffic. There's a marina just south of this area that we're going to be fishing. And where we're fishing is kind of protected. It's a little, it's got mangrove shorelines and everything else. It's pretty neat. So the boats should not, I'm not imagining that the boats will be zipping in and out of there like they will. It's kind of a high traffic area, the area that we're, general vicinity that we're going to be in. And especially on weekends, man, people, it's like boat city. Some of the, I mean, you know, when you got to cross the channel going from the causeway across the channel to, you know, to the grass flats or islands or whatever it is that we're fishing for out there. It's like, oh man, if you remember playing Frogger on Atari as a little kid, it's kind of like that, you know. You're in a slow-moving kayak and you got to go across the channel that's probably 50 yards across. And it's just like a constant, it's almost like a highway, man, of boats that are constantly going. And that's definitely, you got to pick your spot, man, and then paddle hard. So hopefully, I don't think we have to contend with that this weekend. So, and that's a good thing. So anyway, what are we doing for, let's see. Okay, one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, we're getting ready to go on the boondoggle and President's Day and all that stuff, and which I'm excited about. And if you want information on that, make sure you check out the boondoggle page on kayakfishingradio.com. Where was I? Oh, exotic trips, man. Think about some places that you've always wanted to fish, stuff that you might have seen in a magazine or a website or, you know, a fat bald guy that used to write a blog and all that stuff. Where do you want to fish? And what's some of the means to get there, and some price tags involved, man. Greg, you got any ideas?
Oh, for me right now, it's someplace warm.
Yeah. What's the matter? You get your fill of ice fishing already? It's only December. You guys probably don't have ice, you know, enough to get out on right now up there.
Yeah, not quite yet. Give it a week or so, and we may be out there. But, yeah, you know, for me, you know, a lifelong dream has been, you know, to fish just all over the Caribbean, you know, all over the flats, you know, seeing the pictures in magazines and different places. And, you know, I just like going to lots of different places and learning. Because every place you go, I've been, you know, all over the country, but every place you go, even though some people fish or are fishing for the same fish, they all have different techniques, and it's fun to learn, you know, how the local guys do it, and, you know, just the variety. But for me, it's definitely, you know, dream location has a nice white sand beach and some palm trees and
yeah.
It's perpetually warm.
Yeah, right. No, I hear you, man. That's I like that stuff too. Everybody knows that I like my hot weather, man. 90 degrees in July around here. I've never been too hot sitting in my kayak on out on a flat. Okay, call me crazy or whatever, but I'd be way more better. I'm way more suited for that sort of thing than being out on a day like, you know, when it's 54 degrees and the water temperature is 40 and the wind is blowing about 15 miles an hour. Yeah, no, that's definitely not my type of thing. I'm not a fair weather fisherman. It's not that. It's I just don't like cold, man. I'm like allergic to the cold. Cold makes me get in a fetal position. So, Chuck, you got any dream destinations that you've always wanted to go out and kind of maybe explore or check out in a kayak anywhere in the world?
Yeah, I want to go to Australia. That's probably on the top of my list of places that I have to go to before I die, to kayak fish. Not necessarily on the world-famous Great Barrier Reef. I would actually prefer to fish some of the inland waters of the northwest coast of Australia. But, I mean, that's kind of far out of my reach at the moment. But a more realistic one would probably have to be the Bahamas. I really want to go over there and spend some time. And I'd love to do a Bahama paddle trip where I'm basically bouncing from island to island and, you know, spend some time doing that and not just fish for the flat species, the, you know, typical stuff, the bonefish and that kind of thing, but also venture out onto some of the deeper ledges and catch groupers and snappers and pelagics and that kind of thing. But at least that one's more realistic.
Yeah. No, I understand. That's cool. I was wondering because, you're kind of, you kind of get to see all of this crazy stuff and things that people post up and, you know, these kayak fishing trips and stuff. Like the, one of mine is that, that Dry Tortugas trip that Sam and Josh and all those folks, took last year, man. And that, you know, or earlier this year, that's definitely a trip to go out there and camp out, primitive camping, and it's just pristine water out there, man. It's just beautiful. And it doesn't always have to be like a, you know, a white sandy beach with palm trees and, you know, turquoise water and or azure seas, you know, that's just beautiful. That's always nice. I like that kind of stuff. But you can get into some nasty water too, like where was it? Costa Rica, I've heard, has some really good fishing, like river fishing up there.
Giant stuff.
Yeah, that, and on the, I think it was on the Pacific side, I saw somebody was fly fishing, and at the mouth of one of these rivers, right, it was about 20 feet deep, and all of a sudden, dude thought he, you know, using sink tip on a fly rod. And, dude, all of a sudden, he thought he got hung up on the bottom. And, after a few minutes, he figured out that the, you know, if I'm hung up on the bottom, why is my line moving? And, they ended up on a, I think it was like a 10-weight fly reel, or fly rig, you know, a whole setup rod and reel, and sink tip. Dude ended up, now, I don't know if he landed it or not, but he did get some nice pictures of it, you know, pulled up. You know, they didn't take it out of the water or anything like that. But about a 500-pound Goliath grouper. Oh, my God. How would you like that, man? That's something. But, yeah, down there, down south, like around Belize, David Hills area down there where they got the landlocked tarpon, Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely on my list right there. That, Yeah, Costa Rica with somebody down there also picked up a, what was it, something 130-pound black grouper down in Costa Rica, too.
Yeah.
That one wasn't close to shore or anything like that. But some of these, you know, exotic species, too. You look at some of these fish that people catch and you go, what the heck is that? You know, I mean, it's stuff I've never heard of before, but it's awesome. It just basically looks like, some, you know, some of these fish that they catch over in Australia are just, you know, different species of the snapper and things like that that we get around here. And some of the tactics, you know, if you ever watch World Fishing Network or anything like that, I think they have like Fly Fishing Tuesdays or Shallow Water Tuesday or something like that. Anyway, they're always some of these places are in exotic locations. I would have to say, since I'm kind of old school guy, some of the trout streams that they have in New Zealand are just like to die for. So that would be one of my dream trips, definitely. Man, what else? What else is going on? Give me another one. Come on.
I like to go to Canada.
What's that? One at a time. Chuck, go.
Canada, or British Columbia, and or Alaska. Those are all on my list as well of places I want to go and spend some time and paddle it, man. I don't want to. I'd like to do a couple of fly-in trips, but I mean, I really want to sit my butt in the kayak and fish some of those areas. And you know.
Well, you can fly the kayak into some of those places, can't you?
I don't know, man. Some of those planes don't look like they're sturdy enough to even carry my big butt, let alone a freaking kayak.
Man, I got a funny story for you. I flew to the Bahamas one time, right? It was like I've been to the Bahamas twice, okay? And this was one of the times. And we got on a plane in Fort Lauderdale and went over there, and it was absolutely I was like, you know, it was like the Star Wars thing, man. I'm getting on that thing. I mean, this thing looked like just the most dilapidated, you know, single engine little plane going from, you know, Fort Lauderdale over to the Bahamas. And I was like, man, you're serious, right? You're not kidding. That's my flight to the Bahamas. And I'm not like, I mean, I'm okay with that. If it's going to make it and you tell me that that's going to make it, I'm okay. I'll go. I don't have to be on like, you know, sitting in first class in some, you know, luxury, you know, flight somewhere, you know, one of these ultra super duper deluxe 747s, man. It's just a little hop, skip, and a jump across the Atlantic Ocean right there, man. No big deal. No, but that was a rickety thing, man. And I, you know, still got there and serves a purpose, man. I don't care. That's cool. But that was pretty scary. So I understand that, man. You ever been on one of those, Greg, where you're, like, looking at the plane going, really?
Oh, unfortunately, yes. And it wasn't to go someplace I wanted to go.
Oh.
It was for work, so,
nice.
Yeah. Don't like those. If it was something that I wanted to be doing, it would have been a whole lot better.
Right.
But
There was a trip that Mark posted about Yak Angler about the Christmas Island, kayak fishing Christmas Island, and check that out. That was supposedly it's one of the biggest coral reef atolls in the world that you can go out and go fishing on and dive in and, you know, whatever. And they actually offer kayak fishing trips. And I believe that it was about $1,200 or $1,300 per person, like, all said and done, you know, from Hawaii there, you know, your flight. And I don't know if that included your lodging and your kayaks and all that stuff, but that looked like a really cool trip, man. What's that?
I think it started at $1,400. I was just reading that earlier this evening. $1,400 for 6 days fishing, you know, your food and lodging, then a rental kayak and all that stuff at the island. And then, but you still had to pay for the airfare to get there.
Yeah.
Which was like another $1,200 from Hawaii. So you got to get to Hawaii first.
Right. Oh, it was $1,200 to Hawaii? Okay.
No, well, that was, yeah, that was from. Just Hawaii to the, to Christmas Island.
Oh, wow, really? That's kind of steep.
Yeah, but, and hey, they only have one flight a week.
Right. it's out in the middle of nowhere, right? So who cares?
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, anytime that you're flying out in the middle of nowhere, it's not always cheap to get there. But
yeah,
that's where you want to go, man. That's that definitely looked like a kind of cool trip, and that's really, that's not a whole lot of money for an all-inclusive thing like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to look into that.
That'd be incredible.
Oh my God, I know, because you're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, it's who fishes there? Because nobody lives there, do they? Oh man, so that's just not a lot of fishing pressure to be had out there. And same thing, like Chuck said, Canada, you know, there's stuff that's like out in the middle of nowhere up there that nobody ever fishes. So definitely check that kind of stuff out, man. What's another exotic trip? Somebody in the chat room, pipe up.
Yeah.
You know, see what we got.
I got another one for you.
What's that?
How about Patagonia down in Chile?
Oh, yeah. You know, do they have, like, a good rainbow trout fishery down there? Because I've heard that Argentina is, like, the place to go for, like, world-class fly fishing for, like, giant rainbow trout down there. For some reason, it's just, they took them down there and stocked them, and they just took, you know, like, they just took off.
Yeah. They got those over... south in Chile, they have huge sea-run browns, but it's pretty much all flying. You know, you just can't drive everywhere because it's just islands down there. And that would be an amazing trip.
There you go.
I want to go fish in England.
What's that, Chuck?
I want to go fish in England, too.
England, well, yeah, and you just got to learn all the terminology first before you go there. You know, world-renowned fish and chips there, you know. You got to get the fish, so they got to have a halfway decent fishery up there. It's an island, right?
Righto.
Right.
You
know, you just got to learn all the terminology first, you know, before you... They got all sorts of different gear and different terminology and... All sorts of stuff.
They got great trout fishery there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know that there's a healthy, I want to say, salmon population up in, like, around Loch Ness and places like that. A lot of good fishing.
They got
up there.
Really good, I got some friends of mine that live in England, and right down the street from them is actually a trout farm, and they have, I think, 3 or 4 different species of trout that they farm there, including the hybrid tiger trout. So that's definitely a fish that's on my list of things to catch.
Northern pike, too.
Yeah.
So I know there's some crazy Scottish fly fishing guys that just, you know, fly fish for nothing but northern pike. Okay? And that's it. And they're, like, crazy about it, man. Not just, like... Well, you know, we go out once in a while and fish for pike. These guys are like, if they're not out fishing for pike, you know, 3 times a week and tying flies, geez, you should see the flies that these guys make. Look up McFluff Chucker, Chuck, next time you're out, McFluffChucker.com. That guy, I'm like, okay, you've just tied like, you know, 1 million flies. And they're like those big giant pike flies, right? I'm like, well, what are you going to do with all of those? You know, I mean, you already got, like, every color of the rainbow, you know, 50 times. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, it's a, you know, totally different thing. Hey, there's Charlie from Jacksonville. Good to see you, Charlie. Says the black drummer thick up in Jacksonville right now. Charlie says he wants to fish in South Africa. There you go. And D.D. Olson says sturgeon fishing in Vancouver, British Columbia. I've heard about that fishery. The outdoorist there, Rebecca Garlock, will go up there and go sturgeon fishing once in a while, man. Things look like freshwater sharks when you get them out.
The Amazon.
Amazon, there you go. I was watching who's that Larry Dahlberg guy down there one day. And he's like... He's throwing these topwater plugs that are probably a good 2.5 feet long, and it's a popper, like a popper style, and probably a good 4 inches wide, okay. And he's chucking them out there on these big, huge, you know, conventional reels and big giant rods and stuff. And he's popping this thing across the surface. It sounds like, I'm like, dude, you know. You're going to scare all the fish with that thing. I mean, it's just like ripping this topwater through there, like rip, 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 you know. Man, yeah, there's a lot of crazy fish up there, Chuck, down there. That's crazy fishing. But can't be all bad. What else are we talking about? Yeah, there's Harley. Yeah, Charlie's a good guy, man. Really took care of us up in Jacksonville at the Boondoggle when we were up there in last February. So, you know, Charlie, get with Sky. You guys need to come down to Chuck Olosky for our Boondoggle and President's Day weekend there. So all the information's on Yak Angler, so get in there, man. All right, man. Anybody got anything else to add? Because I'm getting here to the end of my show here, and it's I'm getting ready to call it a night, man. So anything from Greg? You got anything to add there?
No, nothing right now.
How's the blog going? You put anything on?
I just recycled some stuff. Last night I put together a Christmas wish list of my own, sort of recycled the Pro Staff one we did a month ago on Yak Angler, and
okay.
Put that together. So, but yeah, just that. I've actually been working on my kayak workshop in the basement, so. Hoping to have
cool.
Some good how-tos coming up this winter. I'm getting things laid out. Hopefully
you got your GoPros.
Working on getting... Yep, got a couple of them. Try to shoot some videos. So actually have some light down there so we can hopefully shoot some nice videos, take some good pictures, and do some of that over the next couple of months. Because I got a week or so of fishing around the Boondoggle, and then it's probably going to be April before the water becomes liquid again. So I got a few months to kill.
Get your GoPros all sorted out, because you know, you'll definitely want those rolling for the Boondoggle for sure, man.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be fun, man. I'm excited about it, Chuck. Got anything more to add there, buddy?
Fantastic job, Rob, as always.
Whatever. Shut up.
No, I've got potentially big news for a... I'm not going to call it a giveaway, because I found out recently, which is one of the reasons that it's held me up from sending out anything, that I don't know that we can do that.
What do you mean?
Giveaway.
It's not.
Yeah.
You're winning something.
Right.
We make people
That's
work
what I'm saying.
For it.
Well,
we make people work
yeah.
for it.
Anyhow, so I may have a very cool prize for either my next show or the following show. I'm going to finalize that hopefully this evening, and I will drop the information on Chip's show on Thursday. So tune in to that, because it will be worth your while, I promise you.
Good deal. I got to go to, on Thursday, speaking of Thursday, I'm going to the doctor, and then I'm going to go Christmas shopping. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So I'm hopefully I can get all that stuff done on Thursday. And then I'm done. And then bring on Christmas, because Christmas Eve is my family's big celebration. And this year everybody's coming to my house. So that's cool. So anyway, that's it for this week. Make sure to tune in all during the week. Chuck's show, my show, The Landing Crew, Chip, and the Spike and Ike show on Friday. So we got a show every night of the week. And also my blog, badbatcast.com. Twitter me, Facebook me, whatever you want to do. All of the information is on my website to find me there on the Follow Me tab on the right-hand side of my blog page there. And let's see, yakangler.com, Greg Crisp's website, yakfish.net, and Redfish Chuck's Kayak Fishing Adventures.com. And until then, I appreciate everybody for listening, checking in. Charlie, it's good to see you, buddy. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in February, man. Redfish Jax, thanks for coming in. And, of course, Greg, I'm always happy to see you. And Mr. D.D. Olson, happy to see you guys in the chat room, man. And I'm excited to hang out with you guys and go fishing with everybody at the Boondoggle. So, once again, check out the Boondoggle page on kayakfishingradio.com. Get your sites rented, reserved, whatever you want to call it. And because they're going quick. So, until next week, I appreciate everybody for showing up. And we're going to go out with the Buzzards Road Jam. I appreciate you guys for listening, man. And I'll see you next time. Later.